Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Hey guys, welcome to the Thank Me Later podcast. I'm me, good looking Lee. As always, to my right, she's always on my right, Zoe.
Yeah.
Zoe is, she's here. She's, I was about to say she's here and she's queer.
I am here and I'm queer.
Yo, I just was trying to be over the corny. Spitty, say what's up. Lucy, say what's up.
Hello.
The guest of the day, you know, I have Shaz. What's your last name, Shaz? No? No last name.
Okay.
Okay, Shaz
is in here.
Shaz,
shy
no ID.
Shit. She's shy than a virgin in this fucking studio.
I wanna tell you.
It's our first
time.
It is,
right?
Baby.
Wait,
girl.
Did I turn the fan on? I just,
no,
I
we
be
turned
hearing
it off because you hear it.
Did you turn it off? You turned it back off, Lucy?
All right.
This is
turn this
on my blanket.
Press power.
It's your safety blanket.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, you in here and you nervous. I can
as
tell.
Shit.
You can curse too.
I didn't know. Like
yeah,
I'm like,
you can curse.
Nah, be
I'm
you.
Be
you.
Right
take a like. You want
yelling, Zoe. You yelling at my fault.
You want a little bit of an edible? You want something to calm you down?
Nah.
What's wrong with you?
You
wanna, why would you say
switch?
That on air? I'm famous.
Oh yeah.
What is wrong with you?
When she mentioned edible, she was talking about cake.
Yeah.
So Shaz is in here. She's nervous.
I know this is a family show.
It's not.
I didn't realize it was a family show. treats, I meant to say.
She's
I ain't
annoying.
Say if I had them. I just said if you wanted them.
Anyway, I want to tell you that you have no reason to be nervous. I want to tell you that you can be very comfy, but I'm also, moving into the space where I'm famous, so you should be nervous.
That's why I'm nervous. Yeah. Like, this is like the number one show on my
show. You should always be mad good, and then you add that last
right.
sentence.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Lee.
Yeah. Yep. So, but on a serious note, I have to get them out now because, you know, we're going to discuss mental health today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's something that you just don't even play with. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just have to get the jokes off first. So, introduce yourself. What do you do? Why did we bring you here specifically for mental health?
Well, I'm Shaz, from Harlem. Currently intern at the Montefiore Gold Program. So it's in it's in the Bronx. And I'm counseling geriatric patients who deal with oncology. So they're patients who've had some form of cancer.
Okay.
I was about to ask.
Yeah, me too.
Well, geriatric means elderly. And
okay.
So oncology is just cancer, but it's cancer of all forms.
Okay.
Okay. So how does cancer now fall into, like, is it because cancer tests your mental health?
Well, if you heard you had cancer, how would you feel?
Devastated.
So that devastation would then lead to what?
Depression.
And
mental instability.
Or, you know, deep depression. You may have a bit of different mood, going in and out of different moods.
Like bipolar.
Or, you know, just it can take you from high functioning to low functioning. So like how right now we're all in here. I'm assuming that we're all in here high functioning. We can all, you know, speak and communicate and understand what's being said to us. Whereas we may not understand, things that are being said to us later on because we're so high strung. Our emotions are all over the place, which means that we're blocking us being able to understand what's being said to us directly.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So because you deal with people with,
I mean, I also work with, you know, autistic individuals, young adults and children.
Okay.
I've counseled school-age children. So I don't want to put myself in a box. I do it all. And I plan to do it all. I'm going to have a private practice one day. So.
But because you deal with these people who, you know, mentally they're not all, in high spirits, you know, does it affect you in any way? Do you sometimes find yourself unstable?
Well, no, I have my own therapist. So, you know, every therapist has a therapist.
I didn't know that was a real thing.
If your therapist does not have a therapist, stop seeing that person. Because there is no possible way that person can help you and be loaded with all the stuff that you have. And they have no one to release that stuff to. We can't just talk to our friends. Not saying that friends aren't great people to speak to, but they aren't licensed to understand exactly and give us that ideal insight. Like, they give us the insight based on their own experiences.
Mm. You know what? This fascinates me, especially being Black, because a lot of times, like, we've grown up, like, you know, because we've been forced to for hundreds of years. We've been forced to suppress our emotions. That's why all of our males are super masculine and super alpha male. They don't, you know, anything feminine is deemed as, you know, bad or trying to emasculate them in any type of way. And then the women, you know, we're raised to be strong, independent women, regardless if we're going to marry people or not. You know what I mean? Like, we're raised to just not, to get over it. Like if I tell my mom I'm feeling a certain type of way, she's going to say, all right, well, you could cry, but you're going to have to get over it eventually. Like every black, that's a black
and
thing.
And eventually like, is usually like really soon. Like it's never eventually.
Oh yeah. It's like right now.
It's like 5 minutes.
It's like, girl, you ain't been through shit. Shut up.
Yeah.
Get over it. So I think it's really important. And this episode is super important. So like, how did you get into just what
mental
you do?
Health.
Well, I think like I was telling Lucy, I was teaching for a year and all the kids had like things happening with them. Like they didn't understand what they were reading because they didn't have time to read because, you know, they were trying to stop their dad from beating their mom, or they didn't know if they were going to eat that night. And so like they were coming to me when I'm a young face and they felt like they could relate to me, talking to me about what they were dealing with. And I didn't really know what to say. Like, I'm like, I don't even understand why you think this is your issue to deal with. Like, you're a child, you know? And so I was thankful and blessed not to have to deal with that. But there were other things I had to deal with, like, you know, like coming out gay to my mom. Like, that's already a whole story in itself. And that's a whole another type of, I guess, dilemma that can lead to mental health issues. Like, you know, you not really feeling accepted, feeling ostracized by the people who love you. The first person who's supposed to love you in your life is your mom or your dad or whomever. And that person kind of says, no, this is not okay. And so that's this whole other thing. Like, you're not accepted. These are all mental health issues. Having gone through that, you know, I kind of changed my platform from wanting to go to law school to wanting to go to grad school to get my mental health license.
That's dope. That's super amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause that is like, I was actually just talking to Spitty about this. Like everybody.
Before you get serious, do a phone check. Everybody phone on airplane mode?
Where? Cause I hear somebody.
Everybody's phone is on. Is yours on airplane mode? It's over there.
Yeah. Mine should definitely absolutely be on. I'm gonna double check yours, but it should definitely be there.
Yeah. Nah, I just, you know, we gotta double check, make sure everything is good.
Make sure people respect the studio.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, both.
Oh, okay, cool. Lucy.
I'm still looking for it, but I know I put it on airplane mode.
Nah, if you know you did it, it's just a sweep. Like, I noticed. Yeah, no, because I noticed even for me, like, we did an episode on energy.
Ooh,
and
I caught that.
Yeah. I was like, yo, my phone is now on airplane mode. You can't disrespect yourself. Like, that's the worst. But, and this is one of those episodes I need people to feel. You know what I'm saying? Because
whatever it was, stopped, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. I didn't touch my phone, thank God. Because my phone has been on airplane mode. But it stopped. But we good. I just need to make sure, you know, they can feel this.
Yeah, because this is important.
Yeah, this is definitely really important.
Because we have a lot of listeners, especially, we have a lot of LGBT listeners.
Yeah, Zoe introduced me to gay Twitter.
I'm still getting used to it myself.
I just fell
into it and just had one good tweet and that was really it. But whatever.
And because she's so nice and I'm not, I'm just a
everyone talks
gay
to me
Twitter.
And then
you
filter everybody and this is what happens. But anyway, it's really important because I was just saying, talking to Spitty about this. Everyone in our generation and like the millennials and generation before it, and even like the kids eating Tide Pods and shit like that, like that generation, we all have some sort of like mental, like, I guess I wouldn't know how to articulate it, but it was some sort of like mental condition. Like we're either get really anxious. We either have like anxiety or we're like kind of bipolar-ish. And then we do a lot of drugs on top of that. Like our generation, I feel like after crack, really black people just like, to be honest, to be real, to put it as blunt as possible. I think after crack, like, yo, that shit has fucking, because even if like your mom wasn't like your family had to deal with that. Like that's a whole nother mental thing and that's a whole nother stigma. And then it gets passed down. Then it gets passed down. You're just in this environment. And I don't think us as people who had to survive literally like for a lot of years, like had to survive. I don't think we internalize like what that does to us mentally and we think it's normal. And that's why black people
don't
deal with
that.
I'm
not gonna lie though. I don't even only think it's just drugs. Like I think there's just like, cause you know, everybody's bottom is somebody's like halfway or top. And I just think that a lot of times because it's not something that's encouraged, talk about your feelings, you know, communicate via vocabulary. Like it's just more of like, attitudes and arguments, because even me, I just learned how to start communicating with like the people around me and even like, you know, women that I'm interested in. I just learned how to start doing that.
Yeah.
That it's like, cause we're taught to just, you know, you feel how you feel, you think about it, then you get over it. it's never really that simple. And that's why I wanted to bring you here, because it's even more than drugs. Like,
oh yeah, just like the cherry on
sometimes
top.
Sometimes you're on top of, like,
it could be marital problems, dealing with, like, watching our parents fall apart, or it could
a whole
be
generation without.
I
fathers.
Never had parents to watch fall apart. But I play too much. Okay, all right.
Well, what about how your parent, like, if you
a
were raised by
anything.
Yeah, whomever you were raised by, like, how they disciplined you, you know, like, how they were there to communicate with you. Like, interpersonal skills are important. A lot of us are still, to this day, 25-plus, learning how to speak and how to communicate with one another. You know,
she,
like,
called me out.
No.
She said my age and everything.
No, everybody. Me too. I'm 25.
I just learned how to have a spot, though.
I just learned with a healthy relationship.
I started with my own age, so like, okay, I was okay. Just like, you know, it's
are
hard.
You
25? Yeah, like, it's, okay. It's hard. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to learn to speak.
Right. Yo, how your taxes? I'm real disappointed.
Jesus
Trump
Christ.
Is a bitch. For real. Like, I don't hear shit about shit. But continue.
It's a real thing. And we don't think about it. Like, we don't think about, like, how these things affect us. Like, I think a few episodes ago, somebody on your show was talking about PTSD. Like, mm-hmm. They think it's just a military thing. It's not. Like, we, as, especially African Americans, we deal with that. Like, we have historical disparities. Like, from slavery, granted, we in this room may not have been picking the cotton, but we have people in our families, generations, who have they're still dealing with the difficulties of what that was like, you know, even economic disparities, like it being living impoverished, like not having access to different health benefits, not having access to different jobs. All those things are things that affect us directly, and they affect our mental health. And as you said, African Americans are known to be one of the most resilient, you know, of a lot of the other, what's the word I'm looking for?
I guess racism.
Yeah, like,
I mean, race is an American thing, but
of all the ethnicities that are out there, is African Americans are really resilient. And because we've been raised not to speak about it, like to kind of hold that in and just deal with it, you know, we get 5 minutes to cry and then we have to stop and then carry on with life. But that's not realistic. You know, like, the problems aren't going to stop because we cry for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to really get that out there and really do that. Like, it's a point, like, you have to explore, gain insight, and then put that into action.
So we're not crazy.
No.
No, this is serious, because somebody could be listening and be like, yo, I felt
crazy,
this way.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, and can listen and say, yo, maybe it is because X, Y, and Z, because I was raised this way. Because this happened to me. Cause people, and I feel like people equate the mental health with a lot of the physical, but that physical is, I mean, it's a huge part of it.
Well, it's a stigma alone, as you said. It's a stigma behind seeking help. For some reason, we can't do that. Like, it's just, it's like benign to think that
real.
That's okay to do. And
getting
I'm
a therapist
not,
is so frowned upon in a black family.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous.
It's like, they equate.
Just pray to God.
But it's the same way
just
as going
Jesus.
To the doctor. Like, how many African Americans, you know, just go to the doctor just to go to the doctor? Like, they have to really be hurt, bleeding. Like, it has to be ready. Like, they not just
I haven't went to the doctor in, like, forever.
I don't go to doctors, but I do think that maybe that is not that bad, because a lot of times, like, you go there and you leave sicker than you came.
That's like an emergency room, though.
No,
we're not talking about that.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about
But that's the idea. The idea that if I was to go to the doctor, I'm fine today. Like, I'm not dying. But if I was, I may need to seek some type of help to get some type of.
Stop yelling.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, you're good. No, I want you to be good with this episode.
But
I need that. Yeah, I want you to be happy with this episode.
There are stigmas behind seeking help. And so when you go to the doctor, you think, I'm not dying now, but I do have a question. There's a lump here, and I'm not sure what this lump is. And, you know, for some people, it could be something like fibroids. For others, it could be cancer. And a lot of us don't really know our hereditary health history, you know?
Right.
And so we don't go to check. We thinking, oh, it doesn't hurt, so I'm good. And then when it does hurt, when it grows and the mass is bigger than we thought, and now we're in stage 4 or stage 5 or something, you know? And it'd be like, oh, my God. Like,
that's so true.
That's what just happened to my aunt.
Mm, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
wild.
She had stage 4 thyroid cancer, and she just...
I gotta fucking
just
go, man. I gotta go.
I ain't go for it. I want to get all these tests done, but
yo,
it's just like,
no,
that
so
is scary. But
it's
intimidating.
So scary,
it's intimidating mentally. It's intimidating financially.
That's a fact.
It's intimidating spiritually. And it's like, damn, like,
that's
do
also
I really
true.
Want it? Cause if you say something that I'm not in a position to, or I just didn't prepare for, then what? Like,
right.
And it's like with me specifically, you get known for being so strong that nobody even checks to see if you're okay. So, like, then what? What do I do?
Well, that's when the therapist comes along. And that's when you go right. and you sit and you talk to somebody about how you're feeling, what you're dealing with. And it's okay. Like, well, that's another stigma about therapy. Like, most people assume, and I say this because.
That you're crazy.
No, not even that. But most people assume that every therapist or psychologist is going to be a white male. Mm. And who can't relate to you. Who doesn't know the things that you deal with. And so a lot of people aren't even aware what multicultural awareness is. They don't know that, you know, this is a training that most people should have to go through to understand the cultures outside of yourself. Mm. And I said that because maybe a few years ago I was having an internship at a school, and this young man I was talking to, I asked him like, had you ever been to therapy? He was like, nah, I don't want to go talk to no white man about my problems. And I'm like, what makes you think he'll be white? Like, and why do you think, you know? And so it was real. Like,
I'm laughing because that's what I would think. Like, I would be like, I ain't talking to no fucking white people about my problems.
But that's not the only.
I went to Catholic school, so it's weird. My therapist was a white nun, but Sister Mary Ellen was the shit. I love Sister Mary Ellen.
But that's, was that really her name, though?
Yeah. Yes, that was her name.
It sounds like a goddamn movie character.
That's exactly
movie.
What I was thinking.
No funny. One of my godparents is a nun. I couldn't stand her, though. I blessed the dead. Sister, what the fuck was
just
her?
Keep it.
What's her
that
name?
Was God. That was God saying, don't say her name. So just keep it alone.
No, she was the nun that nobody liked. So if I liked her, it would have been weird. But I, no problems with the dead, you know, but I understand where that would come from because my therapist really did look like that. My therapist was a white lady named Sister Mary Ellen, who on record should be a virgin. And, she's grown.
You know what?
She's grown, you know, scientifically. What? You need that. And you know what? I was just like, yo, you don't even understand. But she was so cool that she made me think she did. But it's just like, yeah, I understand being weirded out about not relating. You know, if I'm going to give you my burdens, like, shit, at least be able to say, oh, well, I know what that feels like. But that's also something that we have to deal with inside of us, because just because a person looks like the person furthest out from your world doesn't mean that they're that far apart.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I've come in contact with people who I look at them and be like, you have no idea what I deal with on a day to day. Turns out they do. And, you know, we kind of got to get smarter in that aspect. You can't just look at someone and say, hey, I can never confide in you. You know?
But that's a real thing, though. Like, I was talking to somebody. I think I was talking with maybe some of my sororers or something like that. And I was asking, like, yeah, how many white friends do you have? Like not on a racist anything, but just how many people do you really speak to who are outside of your race? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really a lot that they can say. And I'm like, well, why is that? Why is it that you only stick to people who look like you?
That's a mental comfort. Thing too.
It is.
That's a mental thing too. Because we feel like now, I mean, people, and I hate it when people be like, oh, well, you know, I don't see race, or like, oh, you had Obama, like, that shit don't exist no more. Like, first of all, that mentality is always going to be there regardless. It's like woven in the fabric.
Which
is
like, the fact that people use that?
Yo,
Obama?
Oh, we have Obama is different. Like, no, like, it's stuck with us mentally. The same way, like, we feel more comfortable around people who look like us because we've been almost like, trained to think that we are, it's us versus them.
Yeah.
And they have been trained, like you could be the greatest like person ever, but just there's something that crosses your mind subconsciously. It's just in there. It just is what it is. Like, that's why I don't really like call people like racists, like that I think, like that I see in every day, that aren't racist. They don't mean it. Like, you know how you know people and you're like, you don't mean to be this way, but don't do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know, but just don't do this. Like, you don't know. I'm not blaming you. You know what I'm saying? So the same way their mental is like that. That's why a lot of them are like on pills and stuff, and they rely on therapy
to cope
almost overextended. And then we are so strong that nothing can hurt us, so we don't even try. It's like two extremes. It's like you can't handle anything, and then we're trained to handle everything. It's like two polar opposites. So why would I feel comfortable around someone who isn't even, you can't even understand my struggle at all?
And I think one of the biggest things that kind of stops or kind of negates the portion of you actually seeking help is that we wait to the last minute. Like I said, we wait until we're bleeding or until we're near death, which is, it's not optimal to wait that long when you already know you need help. And so we wait so long, and it's like we may be beyond the point of help at this point. Like now we have to be hospitalized. Now we have to be, you know, really put in a place where they may have to put medicine into us to kind of stabilize us, because we've reached the point where we can't control it ourselves. Mm. And that's like people who may be bipolar, maybe depressive manics. Like it's the point where they're to a high extreme. It's either high or low. You know, and it kind of sucks that we have to wait so long, because we've been it's been imposed on us for so long not to seek help from strangers, not to seek help even from it's not just from strangers, but from people we know. Like we can't really go to our parents and say this is because how our parents dealt with things then is differently to how we deal with things now. And it's not to say that it was right how they dealt with it, you know. So it's just we're kind of just stuck in a everlasting loop of.
It's not to say it was wrong though, neither, because I know for me, my mom raised me right. I've done wrong by myself.
Well, we all have choice.
But I do think it's a little peer pressure too. I think it's just not the cool opinion to need someone to talk to. Like I know I've experienced that in my life. Like I'm 25 now. I would say. Maybe, I mean, I dealt with it last year. So by the time I turned 24, I had noticed that I'd been depressed for years. And at some point, no, I'm dead serious.
Seriously.
Like, I'm dead serious. I've lashed out at people that, I mean, if I could feel it twice, knowing what I know now, I would never. Like, I've done things that if anyone were to do to me, I think I would hurt them severely. Like, but I've done these things just out of lash out. Like, I don't think peer pressure gets enough of the blame, because for me, I've always wanted to be cool and I've always wanted to be accepted. So it was just like, none of these kids have therapists. So even though I would talk to Sister Mary Ellen, sometimes it was like, bro, back up. Like, move. Like, get away from me before somebody know that we talk.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and that's crazy. That's really her name. Sister Mary Ellen is like the shit. And it just was like, sometimes I would be like, yo, why do you keep coming to my class to come get me? You don't think I'm going to not leave class and come see you? I don't want to learn. Yo, I would leave. Like, so it was like, stop coming to get me, because I don't want nobody to think that I'm not cool.
That's crazy. Cause I actually had like almost the exact opposite. So I actually went to a white elementary school and a white middle school. So I was in middle school, shout out to Baruch, middle school in the city. I was in art class and I think I was having just a bad day. I was just having a bad day. And, I drew a picture of me and then like my friends jumping off a cliff. Right.
It was weird,
but because I was having a bad day. Like I literally was just like arguing with everybody around me. No, I wasn't jumping. I was on the cliff and then my friends were jumping off the cliff. So thinking back
were you watching them jump off the
cliff? Yeah, I was watching them
jump.
That's
why I laughed, because that's so not like her.
Right. So, because I'm like, I've always been this happy-go-lucky person. Like my mom has told me to not be friendly. Like when I was young, like I'll never forget
Thank
it. Like
you,
she
Mom.
Told me one day and she was just like, you let people take advantage of you. Like you be letting people eat your Lunchables. You be letting people like, you know what I'm saying? Like little stuff. And she'll just
but
tell me
starts
like,
off small.
You
can't,
right. Exactly. It starts off small. She told me young. She was like, yo, don't let these people take advantage of you. But anyway, that's beside the point. But so that's the picture I drew. So of course I go to a white school. I'm one of three black girls one of three black kids in the class. Right. So of course, like my parents get called. Of course, I'm in therapy for like 3 weeks.
I mean, I would have put you in therapy
like,
too.
Right. But this is the thing. Like,
why?
Like, because I was just having a bad day.
Like, picture therapy is real. Like, that's a real thing. And so what you draw really signify what you were thinking, what you were feeling. So we want to explore that. Like, why are these people jumping off the cliff? First of all, who are these people? They could eat, like, for instance, you could be drawing people, but each person could mean something else. Like, instead of being an actual friend, it could be like, life's problems, like, you know, like anything. It could be anything. So like, we have to really explore what that is. And if you want to know, why are you watching them jump off the cliff? Like that could be like, you know, like, you know, almost sociopathal type thing. Like,
that was my parents.
But
that was my parents
all the time. They have shows on this.
But that's where it starts.
But that's,
And no one paid attention to the signs. Like, I never saw, right. He was, Johnny was such a nice guy.
You're trying to say I'm a serial killer?
No.
You're a criminal mind?
No, but.
They never look like me.
That's crazy.
That's true.
They really need to start casting gay black girls as psychopaths.
I told you I'm a date terrorist.
Yo, but it's like facts. Took it back to the first.
But that was my parent. That was my
as a child
thing.
Though, like, yeah, you're right. We really don't pay attention to children's signs. I watch a lot of those shows, Snap, Murderous Affairs, and I watch Killer Kids. Did I get that off Killer Kids? No, maybe not. Well, anyway, one of these movies, the kid, like, used to kill animals. And
see, I wasn't doing all that.
And nobody, but everybody was like, no, you're just being a boy. They're rough.
Right.
We really do sweep a lot of these issues under the carpet.
But that was a different experience for me because my parents were fighting it like they didn't want me in therapy. They were like, you're not going to convince my kid that they're on this. And then they were trying to give me like ADHD, ADD drugs when I didn't even.
They do force drugs onto kids.
But I wasn't even that bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? That was when it first came out.
She had a moment.
She's like, I had a bad day.
Even in this day, they do force like medication onto children just to kind of avoid from having to cope with and helping them go through that process. Like to put them on drugs is easier. Like,
do you think it helps?
I'm against
it. Depends.
You can say no.
It depends. Like, if you've allowed your child to go for so long, so one of the moments where you've allowed them to go for so long, and now it's at a point where you feel like it's nothing that can help but this drug, like it's not optimal, but this is all that can help. It's either put them on ADHD or they're going to be locked up at some point because no one's going to understand that this child may be bipolar or this child may just be very autistic and low functioning or mm-hmm. No one's going to understand that. And you took so long to go and get the child diagnosed or evaluated for what could really be happening, mm-hmm. Which is what happens. Like, and then also on the other side, there are parents who just take full advantage of the benefits that are out there and they just put their kid on it for the checks.
For laziness.
It goes both ways. Kid. Yeah.
Cause I'm against that. I'm honestly like, I'm against putting kids on medication to help them focus because they're kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different if like, okay, they clearly have a problem, but if they're just being a kid and like picking stuff up and putting it down, like, you know what I'm saying? Like just all over the place. Like, I feel like that goes a lot with the culture too, because it's like you have this overactive kid, but then you have a society where they're on phones all day.
When do you know and they're on, overactive or there's something really
right?
Wrong
it's
with
like
them.
That's the thing, you don't know because they're in the house all day. True. No one goes to the park anymore. You can't exude all of this energy. You know what I'm saying? So now you're in this house with this bouncing laptop
and
bouncing
wired.
Off the walls,
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, my kid has to have ADHD because Dr. Oz said so. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, and then of course there's so much money in sick care. So then, you know, you have a society that influences you and almost wants you to put your kids on medication. It almost forces this lifestyle of like, yeah, send your kids to therapy or like, yeah, this, that, and third, that. Like we look at it as a culture like, huh, that's white people shit. We don't deal with none of that shit. Like, we don't even have none of that. But we have the worst. I feel like ours is really toxic because we've gone so long without treating it at all.
And we still don't. And so, like, I'm a firm believer in therapy. Like, even if you're the most healthiest person, still, you should go to therapy and just seek help.
But,
like, it's okay.
But do you think there's other ways? Because I don't go to therapy, and I definitely beat depression and shit by myself.
If you have positive outlets, like, other things to do, like, what you're doing right here is great. It's amazing. So, this is probably one of the best things that you can do to possibly channel that energy into mm-hmm. something that's going to be, you know, positive for you, mm-hmm. Then it's okay. But I think at least at one point, like, you know, like there are some things that even the radio can't fix for you, you mm-hmm. know. So there'll be some things that you can't talk to Zoe about. There'll be some things, like, granted, you may think I can talk to her about anything,
facts.
But there may be some things that she just won't understand. Like, she hasn't had that experience.
Yeah.
And so you may need to, not saying that you have to, but it's a choice. And so it's like, it's an opportunity. Like, there's free counseling out there. That's another reason why most people don't go. They think, oh, it's so expensive.
Yeah. And also, I don't know what I would talk about. Like, I don't know.
You know
if
how
I
you
have
always
therapy.
Have something to say until it's time to say
right.
it.
Right. It's like, so tell
you
me
know
about
how many
yourself.
Times
it's like, I like
that
the color
has happened
gold.
To me. Son, I'll be coming in here like, I'm about to ask the bomb ass questions. And you know what comes out? Who the fuck are you and why are you here?
No, that's it. A fact. Like, because we don't write. We
no, I do. You don't check that note, but whatever.
No. It does get updated and I do check whatever. It actually, but it's not like,
but
what
it doesn't,
we say.
It doesn't happen.
It's not like point by point, like how we were trying to do it.
No, cause I don't want to script
exactly.
the show.
Exactly. So then, the show isn't scripted. You be trying to come for me every day. You need to check that shit the fuck out. No, but.
She's so excited that she got 1 point.
Yo, because
so
I began, you... no, I have like three. You may have a million, but I have three. And my three are very
solid.
Anyway,
three. You got it.
But that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't know what I would say. Like, and I know I got issues. Like, I know I have issues, like emotional things that aren't normal or like things that I know that I'm dealing with.
Okay, but you see that
with.
Right there? That's why I wanted her to come here, because I needed somebody who is in
denial.
In the, not, no, she's not in denial. I'm in denial. Definitely in the spotlight. In the spotlight. Like, you could deny it, but you're popular. You're popular, especially like, you know, within gay Twitter. You're popular.
You keep,
but I wanted somebody, you are, but I wanted somebody who's popular to say that. To say that, you know, I know.
Oh, but you know. Oh, that's why I'm here.
But
right.
No, but I mean, you work with the show, though. But I knew that this would be fine because I wanted somebody who is cool and who is in the spotlight and who is seen to someone who never fit in mm-hmm. as like, oh, that must be what cool looks like, to say, well, I know
oh,
that
no,
I have, you
I
know,
have,
something
I have
that
abandonment
I should
issues.
With.
I know I have abandonment
exactly,
issues.
Exactly. But like, there's, it's very slim that you hear someone who's in your position be like, yeah, hey, I know there's something wrong and I can accept that. A lot of times it's like, nah, ain't nothing wrong with me. The world is just, that's how it works or something. Mm-hmm. When we know we're pushing it down. But like me, but I always thought maybe that's how I knew I wasn't just supposed to be like mad cool because mm-hmm. I've known that I've had issues. Like,
yeah, like
I've known. Well, I mean, I just figured it out. I always thought everybody would do that. The things right. that I was doing, I was thinking everybody would do. Like, perfect example. When I was a kid, I've never been known to celebrate Mother's or Father's Day. Never. So if I say Happy Mother's Day to you, you gotta know, like, I respect you for something. Cause I would look my cousin in the face who has helped raise me and be like, what? It's just mm-hmm. a regular day. Relax. Like, mm-hmm. but one specific year in school, I don't remember what year it was. I was a kid and it was Father's Day and they was making stuff for their dads. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. And I went to Catholic school. They was like, you know, why not? And I'm like, I'm just not. I don't have nobody to give it to. And then they was like, give it to your father. And I'm in my head like, bitch, if it was that fucking easy, don't you think that I would be here ecstatic to make this shit?
I don't think the people.
I don't have nobody to give it to.
I don't think the people know your personal situation.
Yeah, and I get that. But if a child tells you that they don't have nobody to give it to, I just
wouldn't
think
you just
that
assume?
Make give it to your dad is the dumbest thing you could possibly say. A duh. Like, or I could give it to my uncle. Duh. But
that's a traumatic event because you remember it.
Like. Right? That was crazy. But I remember I made it. It was like a cologne set. Little scents and stuff. I'm looking back. Nobody should have let children make these scents. But I remember one day my dad was at my house and I gave it to him. But it was just like, thanks. Like, and that really, and Thomas, no, he cannot hurt my feelings because you have to know me to hurt my feelings. But that really hurt my little feelings, my little ass feelings. I was like, I didn't even want to do this, like, mm-hmm. and I did it. You got to jump, do a cartwheel or something, like, and then from then on, every Mother's, Father's Day, especially, like, the other kids would be mad happy, oh, my dad is this, and I used to be like, I'll beat you up.
Like, don't
talk to me. I'll straight up beat you up. Like, I don't care about none of that. I don't want to know. I don't care. And that carried on for a very long time, like, just lashing out. You can't do that to people just because they're not in your predicament. But I learned that, no lie, as an adult. Not even a teen.
Hell yeah.
A nothing. Like, as a teenager, I knew, okay, yeah, I shouldn't be mean to you because you have your parents. But it never registered until I kicked depression as a whole that, like, yo, looking back, you know, I think I'm a firm believer if they meant to be in your life, they're going to be there. But looking back, like, I could have held on to a few people a little longer. Mm. I'm glad we got it out the way. Shit. Mm-hmm. But I could have.
But that's because
but I could have held on.
Right. And then I think that's what you're saying. You're saying, like, we don't know how to deal with stuff like that. Like, we don't know how to deal with, like, just traumatic situations. You feel what I'm saying? Because my home life, I have both parents, and my home life is not
I always
normal.
Tell her, you
know,
like, you have
saying?
An amazing life. But, you got a two-parent home.
Yeah, but that doesn't
but
mean
But that don't mean
shit.
I used to think that having
that means
a
two-parent
home people. Meant something, too. And then, you know, I have a stepdad. Like, my dad died before I was born, so that's what,
I'm
I understand.
Sorry, yeah.
I didn't know him, so I don't, you know, so when people say that, I'm like, okay, thanks.
No, but it's just a respectful thing to say. You don't
definitely.
Just be like, bypass it, like you didn't hear it.
I bypass it all the time, so.
Well, you can, still. I can't.
Right. All right, well, but I can understand, like, the idea of, like, skipping Father's Day because of what you dealt with or didn't deal with, you know, like, what you didn't have, and so I used to always think, oh my God, you know, having a two-parent household must be the shit. And
it's just two humans. It's just two extra humans.
And then
that
I...
Should, Listen, my parents have been married for about 30-some years. They should not still be together.
Well, like, my mom and my stepfather have been together for about 23 years. And he's never one day been a dad to me, you know? So it's like, you would think having two people in your house, you would think that, oh my God, like, I'm going to have a dad now. It was one point in my life I thought that. And it never happened. So I was like, okay, so this is not going to happen. So I have to get okay. I have to become okay with it. But I never allowed it. For some reason, I just never allowed it to kind of affect how I am. At least I never thought I did. You know, maybe I'm still in a process where I'm still processing who I am and I'm still processing how I felt about things, which is an ever-going process. Like, we're all going to continuously process where we are in life and think about where we were and who we were at that moment. Like, who you are today is not who you were yesterday. It's going to continuously happen like that. And it's a point in time we think, like, you know, like the whole idea, like, for instance, bullies. We think that, oh, that person is just mean as shit. Like, why is that person so mean to me? Why is that person always picking on me? But that person may be having someone at home picking on them.
But we also teach kids when they mean to you, especially if they're like the opposite sex, that means they like you. We gotta stop teaching that shit.
Yeah, we gotta stop promoting that culture.
We gotta stop promoting that culture
because that only influences boys that they'll be boys and that's okay. But then they grow up to be men who molest women. And they think it's okay.
Or even like they just verbally abuse them or something.
Verbally anything.
But we teach our daughters to think like, that's cool. That means he loves me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like a long lineage of weird shit that's been happening.
I think we've all been taught that some form of toxicity means, you know, because all of us even fetishize, you know, that toxic relationship, like, oh yeah, girl, pop up on me, even though
I'm still out here encouraging,
a little bit is like, oh, that's sexy, a little bit. Like, if you don't think that's sexy, then like, good, because you shouldn't.
I mean, spontaneity is sexy.
Yeah, but not like toxic.
Yeah, like not popping up at my job and I'm at work and you know I'm at work and you just want to see who my client is. Like, is this the bitch you talking to?
Right.
You know, so like, no, that's different. And so you can't.
But I feel like we've been taught that's cute and it's not cute. Like, I'm 25 and I just a couple years ago was like, that shit not cute. Like, don't get no attitude with me for no fucking reason. Like, I'll put you on ice. Like,
no, seriously.
I'm not talk to you.
Like, I'm a firm believer
it.
In communication, especially where I am in life now. And I feel like if you can't talk to me, we can't do nothing else. Yeah. Like, if you can't tell me how you feel, if you can't tell me, oh, that hurt my feelings because X, Y, and Z, we can't communicate. Because I'm at a point now where I want to talk about everything. I want to talk about the sky being blue and why I think it's blue today. And I want to talk about it all. And it's a lot of people who can't.
That's crazy.
They don't want to talk about that. And it's so hard for them to talk about that. Like, they can't fathom having a conversation. They want to know what you're doing you all day, or they want to, let's go out to eat. They want to be in the same place as you, but be on their phones. Like, yo, cut that off. Like, it was a point in time we didn't have phones. We had to write letters. We had the email. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was some real, like, it was real. It was a real connection with people. Like, interpersonal skills now suck. People don't know how to communicate. Like, we don't do it.
Because we have so many methods of communication and nobody knows how to directly communicate.
It's but like, communication also isn't, like, pushed as one of the bigger things because, well, for me, I know, like, let's say relationships. First of all, I've never seen a relationship last. I didn't even know what it meant to like love someone unconditionally. That's not like related to you. You have to love your family, though. But I didn't know what it was like for unconditional love with someone else. Like, there's a lot of women, you know, if you say my name around them, yo, you will get the worst stories. And I'm talking about, even I would be like, what the f-? Like, who is that person? But I think that, wow, I just lost it.
You just lost it?
No, I caught it. Yeah, what? Nope, lost it again. I was going somewhere.
I think I know what you're talking about. You was about to drop some names.
I was. No, that's not why. It was, oh, okay, so yeah, the way, sheesh.
Lost it again.
Yeah, okay. But what I can say is that, you know, never saw an everlasting relationship. Yes.
Right.
But so for me, what I was looking into was, let's say like those urban love stories, like True to the Game and shit.
Oh,
I always wanted to be that guy, the guy that like
sold drugs and did all the stuff that you probably shouldn't do in life.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's one way to say it.
I did.
What I was gonna say was,
cause she
have like more,
yeah,
say, like,
cheat
all the time, like, babe,
isn't normal. Like, I just kinda realized that a couple years ago. Like, it's not.
Stop lying. It was a couple months ago. You dumb.
No, stop. Don't do that.
I'm just playing.
Don't do that. Nah, definitely.
Like, I didn't even know her.
Like,
no,
a couple.
But no, wow. Seriously. I always wanted to be that guy though. I wanted to be like, you know, like, oh, I mess up and my girl just keep taking me back, or, you know, sometimes I'll step out and, you know, she deals, and we never realize how much we put on our women. even, and I always hear from my straight friends, it's easy, you're a lesbian. It's not, it's kind of even harder because as a woman, you doing all of this to your woman. You have a mom, you have a, I have sisters, I have cousins, like my family does not produce men. We have so many women. There's women, there's little girls. And do I really want to be the type of person that I warn them to stay away from? Mm-hmm. Like that's crazy. But for years, I thought that that was normal. I thought that if you run the household, which I thought that naturally it's always men that do, you know, this is what comes with it. And that's not, it doesn't come with domestic violence. It doesn't come with verbal abuse. It doesn't come with, being spoken down to like you're inferior. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of the token, you know, you have to go through things, I guess, to create like that foundation, or is that not?
I mean, as what you're talking about is those relationships, those things are modeled before us. So like what you, like you said, you never saw this happen before. So we eventually either get a good role model who teaches us, or we become that role model that we want, that we were looking for the whole time. So like you said, do you have these young people in your life, or just women in general, who you're telling them, this isn't good, don't allow this to happen, this is toxic, this is X, Y, and Z, whatever you're teaching them. Of course, you don't want to be hypocritical and not live by the same things that you're preaching, but it happens often, you know. Like there are points where you just have to be yourself, you know, and it's hard. Like it's hard. Like as you said, we're struggling to be in, to be cool, to be popular, to be found as the most attractive person, whomever in the room, whatever the case may be. And that's not always going to be like the thing that you can do. Like it's not, sometimes it's not for you. It's just okay. It doesn't mean that you're less than. It just means that is not in your gene pool. Mm-hmm. And like research shows that's real. Like research shows that everyone's not going to be attractive. Everyone's not going to be rich or successful. It's just some things are set into place where that's just not something that you can do. And like homeless people, we were thinking like, how did that person become homeless? They were just in the military or X, Y, and Z. Like there are some things that are really set into place to stop that person from growing more than where they are.
You know what, too? This is why I say peer pressure has a lot to do with it. We even make our friends feel like it's okay to to cheat and shit. We make them think it's okay to be lying to your girl who's holding it down. We make them think that that's okay. Bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know y'all gonna be good. You know what I'm saying? She don't have to know what she won't know. Don't hurt her. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay.
I was also gonna say more to your point. I think society has put that stigma that if you don't have this many likes on Instagram, then you're not nobody. You have no self-worth. You're not
trying to make me feel less than. But now my Instagram's popping, so it doesn't
like,
really matter.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, shut up. So, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you grow up in a society. It's hard to have 300 followers in this society. It's hard.
Or you could still have like thousands and thousands of followers. Still
and be the most insecure. Like, people always like, and Lee always, all the time, and she knows this, and even though Lee knows the person I really am. I'm like one of the most self-conscious, like, people in the world. Like, I am like the first person to get on myself. Like, the first person to just like.
But people on Twitter would never know that. No one. They would just,
you know, cause it's
like,
she's attractive, quote unquote. Oh, she doesn't deal with shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, people do deal with shit. Like, it's not just people that you would assume would deal with shit. Everybody deals with shit. Like,
you know, I get that a lot. I get that a lot. Girls I used to date used to tell me, it's like you have no care in the world, and then I get to know you and.
I'm the most emotional.
It's the same though.
Like,
if you look at, not to bring them up or make this about celebrities, but if you bring up like the whole Beyonce and Jay-Z thing, that was some real shit that happened to hit the fan. Like, he cheated on her. It happens. Like, it happens. It just shows you that just because you're pretty doesn't mean you can't get cheated on. Just because you're rich and famous doesn't mean that your shit is going to be kept under wraps. It happens. And that was like the most, it reminded people that they're human. Because people forget that celebrities are human. They think, oh, they're rich, they're famous, they can't ever have a care in the world. They're attractive, their life is exactly where they want it to be, but it's not. Like, everything's publicized. They can't even go through pain in private.
Word. And shout out to the therapist who influenced Lemonade and 444. That's what happened. They went to therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And their therapist said, y'all should make albums. And that was fire. So shout out to that therapist. At least that was the rumor that I heard.
I was always the one saying that, you know, maybe she's not going through it. And I'm not saying I don't believe she got cheated on. Like, if somebody admits to something, you just got to take it. But I do feel like, at the same time, Beyonce gave us what she knows we can relate to. And she know a lot of us cannot relate to being happily married and, you know, not being cheated on. But that's the thing. That's where, you know, you start to realize how normal it's become to just take this stuff. It's become normal.
To deal with the pain.
And relationships are not always great. Not even like family relationships are going to be great. You're going to get your feelings hurt, but there's always a line that I wish that we could start preparing people to be open to be able to see, like, okay, you crossed that line now. Cause we raising, like, women. Like, I know people with daughters who stay with men who beat their ass. Let's not leave them out.
I'm
an advocate for men because, like, a lot of my friends tell me I be forgetting you a girl. So I'm always the men's advocate.
I get that too, but I hold my friends accountable. Like, a lot of my friends, like, every best friend I have is male. I have three best friends and they're all male. And
except
for you.
Exactly.
But,
I'll be your male best friend though.
They're all, I hold everyone accountable. Like, anyone in my life, I hold them accountable because, like, I want you to succeed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want you to be the best person that you can be and not just talk about it. Like, not just be this person who's a facade on a picture. Like, that's a cute picture. You got 1,000 likes. It's amazing. But who are you? You know, like, what are you going to be after the likes? When Instagram dies down, you no longer have this look. You're no longer this person that everyone has access to. Who are you going to be? Are you going to like yourself at the end of the day? And so I hold them accountable. Like, as you said, like, we allow people to cheat and think it's cool. Like, I'll cover for you. I'll tell her that she was at this place, X, Y, and Z. But what does it say more about you too? Like, that could be you. Your significant other could be cheating on you, and her friends or whomever is saying the same thing to you. Like, what would you do? How would you feel? And, like, we have to place ourselves in that category every time. Like, yo, how would I feel if this was me?
Especially men. I don't want to leave men out at all, because we do have some male listeners, and I've definitely put on my bros, you know, put my bros onto the show. And I talk to them a lot about mental health. I talk to them a lot about, you know, cause they're straight, you know, black men. So they, you know, I always get on them whenever we're all together and they, like, holla at a girl. I'd be like, yo, don't do that. Like, she don't want to do that. Like, relax. And they'd be like, nah, it's a sport thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's just how they think.
Yeah.
And then we have these long talks, these long arguments. But I always tell them, like, you guys are coddled. Like, being black men, like, we've coddled you as, like, black women. Like, because you are the first thing that they go after, that the opposition goes after and, like, tries to stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, the black male is the one who gets shot and things like that. So black women, as nature since slavery, has coddled the black man. So now we've reached a point where black men are so, they think they're so alpha male. You know, they can't do anything feminine because a woman has handled that. They can't wash no dishes. What you talking about, cook? What are you talking about? Like, no, my woman cooks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, little things, like little things.
But on
like that. And they don't talk to nobody. You know what I'm saying? They don't talk to nobody.
I can say that majority of my clients are females. And I've had maybe 3 male clients. And only one has really stayed and stuck, like, stayed consistent.
Because that's gay.
Because men be going just
because they're gay. They don't want to talk about their feelings.
It's not even that.
It's gay, my nigga.
I'm sorry, It's not even that it's gay.
Yo, you got a therapist, my nigga? Are you crazy, my nigga?
Think about it. Nobody is going to say that on the corner. Stop doing that, my nigga. Nobody that sells hardcore drugs.
Yo, my nigga, I got to go to therapy, my nigga. You hold this pack for me.
I need you to sell this for me. I really got to be at therapy.
I got to go to therapy. Nigga, you crazy, my nigga. I ain't fucking with you if you crazy, my nigga.
But see, that's the stigma, though. That's why they don't speak. Like as you said, like, black men are raised, or men in general, not just black men, men in general are raised not to cry. It's not okay. It's only if it's a female thing. Yep. Females cry. Not to express yourself. You gotta deal with it. Like, you gotta, I don't know if you guys remember Carl Thomas when he made that song. Maybe it was Music Soul Child. He made a song and he was saying something about how, he couldn't cry. He had to be the strongest person or something. I can't think of the name of it. But
I thought you was asking me if I remember Carl Thomas. I'm about to say, hell yeah.
I was, but that was the wrong person. It was supposed to be Music Soul Child, but he had a song and he was talking about how, you know, as a black male, he has to be like the breadwinner.
Yeah, I think that was Soul Child.
And that was some real stuff. And, like, granted, that was back in the 90s. Like, we was listening to that song in the 90s, but that's still relevant. Like, he was saying it. He was giving us the blueprints. Like, this is what's happening. Like, let's raise our men better. Raise our, you know what I'm saying? And no one listened. They thought it was a cool song to vibe to.
Let him cry. Like, I'm going to let my son cry, man. I'm going to let my son cry. I'm gonna let my son.
Or not just that. Pick him up. Like, hug him.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, hug him.
It's okay, mommy. Yeah, mommy. It's okay to be feminine. It's not even feminine. It's okay to feel your emotions. It's being it's real. Okay.
Yeah, be human. Yes, it's okay. Allow him to be human. It's a lot of stuff that,
it's okay.
Like, I've realized that they're, like, we are attempting to raise our men or our young boys into such rugged men that we don't even allow them to wash their hands
after
they're finished playing outside in the dirt. Like, we don't allow them to do, like,
wait, time out. That's crazy.
But that's real.
Who don't wash their ass?
No, but listen, this is real. Like, they don't change their underwear. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, it's something their parents always did. They were never taught to groom themselves. Like, if you talk to a man, depending on where he is, mm-hmm. tell him to go get a pedicure and a manicure. No, that's gay. I don't do that.
Facts.
But that's something you have to take care. Self-care is the first care before you love or care for anyone else. You have to care for yourself. And we don't care for ourselves enough in general.
Yeah.
Like, we don't do enough of that. And, like, going back to mental health, like, to take care of your mental health is the best self-care you can do for yourself. And no one realizes, like, you think, like, just, I guess what, going to get your hair done and going to have your nails and all that stuff done is self-care. Yeah, it is. But it's not the first form is mental health. You have to take care of your mind.
What is a therapy session?
I always tell people that before you get the bag and the shoes, you know what I'm saying?
You got to have a talk with yourself.
Lee, you got this. You said you was, before
you
I got the
be
bag
in that
and the
mirror
shoes,
real quick.
Lee was talking to Lee. Like, I still talk to myself a lot. I talk to me more than I
talk
to people.
Yeah, I talk to myself out loud.
I talk to myself
out loud. Oh, yeah. Oh,
see
you.
See, I don't got the space. My mother would be like, who the hell are you talking to up there? I told you don't be bringing none of them fast ass girls around my house no more. I'm tired of this shit.
Low key, your moms would probably think I'm a fast ass girl.
Now, my mom would be like, oh, okay, she cool.
Nah, she'll be like,
my mom real fake. My mom fake as
fuck. She's the devil.
My mom is fake, oh, boy. She's super light skinned.
My mom tell you how it is. I be looking
out
like, if you don't just.
No funny, son. Her moms will be like, oh, so you think you got the world handed to you because you light skinned? Like, yo,
you
I'm
got
telling
blonde
you. Yeah, like. But no. You gotta think about it though. You see how we say and said that, you know, we coddle men and we put all the feminine stuff on women. You and I are guilty of it as well. Like, if you think back to the Femmes versus Dyke episode, we argued with them about who should cook. Mm-hmm. Not that that's how we are in every day, but that is also something that we both are, have been blessed to have.
I think that alone, that's a surface dilemma. Like, I think that
people, definitely, I can't cook.
If you go in depth below that, that's more of the homosexual community trying to normalize, like, you know,
their relationship. Because we just want to be accepted.
Right, like, that's it. We want to be just like heterosexual relationships. So, like, we're thinking, well, in that relationship, more than likely the woman's cooking. And, right. You know, and even then, like, that still goes for both ways. Like, if he's home first, he needs to cook a meal. Yeah. Like, she's been at work. She's been doing whatever she used to do. She's to cook a meal in the same way.
I like cooking.
I'm a firm. I do too.
I love cooking.
Listen,
I just don't like cleaning.
Right, I will chop it.
I just don't like cleaning.
I can give you lessons if you want.
Yes.
Word.
Let me say yes because I was going to say yes.
First thing we're going to cook.
Watch your levels.
I'm sorry.
You hear that? Do you hear that glitch, Mike? You hear it in the headphones?
That was me.
Yeah. No, but I've heard it before you. No, be excited. I got to listen.
We got a number one podcast.
High. Yeah, yeah.
If it goes too high, then it makes
then
it
cracks. Crack. Yeah, that's on me. Yeah. I should know that.
It's
I should know
you
that.
Laugh, but I got it. I got it.
Nah, copy. No, listen, man.
Cooking is Alfredo.
I pay this
Monica.
Bill for a reason. I need the best show that I can have out of this studio.
We're not making Alfredo. You
know, so. Yo, what's so bad about Alfredo, Monica? Just, like, Alfredo is a nice dish.
But this is my thing. I actually love Alfredo.
We're going to make oxtails
and
rice and peas.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I ain't cleaning this.
Wait, no, but this is the thing I actually do. Like, I'll tell girls, don't Alfredo me to death. But I did love Alfredo. So.
My thing is, like, Alfredo, like, is lit, but you know
it's
what
just
it is?
The easiest
girls,
to cook.
No, you know why? Because girls take the can of Alfredo and pour it. If you make an Alfredo, you a G. If you in there with the cream and the Parmesan and you really
right,
chef
you make,
it with
if
the
you
garlic.
If you're making it from scratch,
then,
I'm with you. Because
that's how I make Alfredo.
But every female cook, not making it like that, they go in about a jar.
Right.
See, that's.
They heating up the sauce. Add a little bit of paprika. You want some spice. They not making it like the way they need to be making it, so
me.
I don't want that. Don't give me no half-ass
wow,
meal.
That's
like,
me.
If I cook for you, I'm not clean. Giving you a half-ass meal. I'm making a salad. I'm making some, you know, I'm
Word.
Making meatballs from scratch.
Oh my God, I love
like,
cooking.
You know,
oh.
like, it's therapeutic.
I love blowing them out. Cause they, you cooking me Alfredo? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna cook you Alfredo. And then cut with the nice broil cause I'm pescatarian again, by the way, guys.
Okay, good.
So I got with the nice little broiled white fish with the sauteed veggies with the, you feel me? With the rice peas. pilaf. You heard?
Wow, with the rice pilaf. I don't cook.
Meat for dessert. You heard?
And cereal. And
listen, let me tell you. I know somebody, a grown woman, who makes spaghetti with ramen noodles. So I'm like, yo, that's don't bring that ramen spaghetti over here.
Wait. She has like the packet, and that's the noodles.
And she's put the.
If she don't get that goddamn pasta with the blue container,
she put the packet to the side in case she need extra seasoning or something else.
That's seasoning, or that's MSG. Bro, that's cancer in the bag.
It is salt. It is a lot of salt. But I'm saying, like, I know people do
that's
that.
I've been a project. Oodles and noodles got me through a lot in life. Even got me through college. So I can't sit here.
Oodles and noodles got me through college. Right. Yeah.
But if you have a choice, you choose oodles and noodles. Are you choosing oodles and noodles?
Sometimes yes. I'm very ratchet. Yes.
You're choosing
sometimes yes.
Well, I'm choosing crown fried though.
You see,
I am choosing. Crown
I'm not.
Fried.
I'm choosing Kennedy's. Like.
Well, one of the two. Whichever one's in the hood. Whichever one's in the hood.
No, I'm going to get a chopped cheese.
You, okay.
Where you from again?
Harlem.
She's from Harlem.
Oh, yeah. So we could compete on the Come for Queens. So it's equal respect.
But though y'all don't need to compete, I need y'all.
It's equal respect. That's what I'm saying. It's an equal respect. No. Only Harlem and Queens could jack the chopped cheese. Nowhere else could jack chopped cheese.
I've never even had one. Don't nobody want that.
You got
because you're from Brooklyn, my nigga.
I never had a chopped cheese.
You're from Brooklyn, man.
They make them,
but you never get one. You don't get a chopped cheese from Brooklyn. You either go to Hollis Deli or 179 or you go to Harlem, and I don't know you what bodegas you go. Listen,
wait, but wait. I heard in Rochdale, I heard Obama Deli chopped cheese is good too. You've been in Obama Deli, huh? Because you just be everywhere.
My nigga. I'm okay. From Queens. I'm the delegate in Jamaica. You see me hillside all day. No, that's a rap video. See, look, you don't hype me. I'm a little drunk. But I really want to know, like, back to the topic, to bring us back real quick, because I know we got to wrap it up soon.
Yeah.
But I really think this is important. What does a therapy session look like? Like, I mean, for you personally, I don't want you to get into what you do, but like, what does it look like?
It's about 45 minutes to an hour of you just, talking about whatever you want to talk about. If you want to go in there and talk about other people, you could do that. But it's going to get to a point where you're going to have to talk about yourself. Like, it's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do is to talk about yourself. But it's going to get to a point where you're going to run out of people to talk about.
Right. Do they ask you questions? Like, is it a date?
How does it start?
You're an idiot.
That's a real question though. A lot of people, they stray away from, you know, really going to therapy because they don't know what it looks like. So like, the first thing you get into is like, you know, why are you here?
Yeah, but it's like, I'm in here because I was on my podcast. This is what I'm gonna say. I came because I was on a podcast and I kind of wanted to know if there's anything wrong with me.
Okay. And so what made you think something was wrong with you?
Cause I know I'll be wilding sometimes. Like, I blame it on being a Sagittarius, but sometimes
you can't blame the universe for everything.
You can't.
And so what does that look like for you?
Well, for me personally, is this a therapy?
No, go ahead, keep going.
Nah, but for me personally, like, I get really emotionally invested,
very soon,
very very quickly. And thanks for that, motherfucker.
No problem.
But thanks for keeping me honest with myself.
I thought we were role playing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's something that I've struggled with, and then now, right now, I've like almost like tried to combat it. Like, I don't want to get too close because I feel like I have a stigma myself where like there's something wrong with me like liking people really quickly.
So what does that look like when you get really invested?
I start like overdoing a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I start like paying for unnecessary things, and like I show my affection, like my love languages are like acts of service and like gifts and affirmation words of affirmation in terms of in service.
Okay, and where was that modeled for you? So where did you learn? Like, how was love shown to you?
Oh, you getting deep, girl. My mom, she would show me things and take me places, and my dad would pay for stuff.
Okay, so does that sound familiar?
Yeah, it does a little bit. That's what I do. But
that's
my
also,
whole thing is,
also called tricking.
Yeah, it is.
You've been diagnosed.
I've been diagnosed with tricking. But no, this is the thing. I don't think that's normal. I think I could show it healthier being more doing those same things, but being more emotional. So I don't feel so used if it doesn't
work out.
I like
that though. I show my love. I feel like love without D's is nothing. You have to show people. You can say it all day, but I also go out of my way. Like,
yeah,
let me
I
do
go
this
out of my
you.
Way,
but I don't communicate though. I won't tell you. Like,
yeah, me neither.
Yo, you really pissed me off when you did this and that.
I'm
I don't want
just
you to
starting
mean
to do that.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Like, after my last situation, like, yeah. that's, something 100% that I have to do that I've learned. Like, when I'm mad about something or when I'm feeling away, I let you know right now. Like, nah.
But I never was like that. I'm just like, all right, cool. You're just going to know materialistically when I'm feeling you and you'll know when I'm not. But like, recently, you know, the people around me, you know, I got some, like, Zoe too. But Lee, you have to learn how to communicate. Like, if I ask you if you're going to feel some way if I do this and you are, don't tell me no and think I'm going to figure it out. Don't say no and think, oh, well, she knows me enough to think that it's a yes. You have to say what you mean. And that is really scary to me. I think that that's really
I think that's scary to anybody, though, especially if they feel like they're not going to get what they want to hear. You know, like if they don't.
But you also don't want to push somebody away, and
you don't want to be too emotional, because that's my fear. Because
then it's like, now you're a bitch.
Well, no, listen, this is the thing.
For real.
One, you're human, so you're gonna have emotions, and not everyone's gonna feel what you feel, and it's not for another person to invalidate that feeling, which is what happens when you feel the need that you can't express yourself because of the idea, the stigma behind, I'm too emotional, she's not gonna know how to deal with that. That's her invalidating how you feel. That's her saying that you only allowed to feel this way to a certain extent. Which is why we're in this predicament in the first place, because no one allows us to feel and no one accepts that. Why? Because they can't feel themselves. They're repressing themselves. They're holding themselves in a box. I can only feel for 5 minutes and then that's it. I can only express about this much and then that's too much after that. And so it's just all about knowing how to and how to express yourself, how to communicate what you're feeling, how to understand that this person also has feelings and what I may feel not to be so important or relevant to my situation does not mean that it doesn't matter to this person. If that person matters to me, I have to learn to understand that. I have to work towards understanding what I can do to help that person feel better or cope better.
Wow, that's so deep, because I've always felt like I was too much. Like, I've always felt like I was too much. Like, I talk too much. I'm too emotional. Like, I'm just too much. I'm just too much. Yeah, but that's like, that sucks. Too, yeah, but that sucks being told that. Like,
no, it does.
And then to the point where, like, you start, like, repressing, and then you start repressing, and then it comes out in ugly ways. Like you physically, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, or like, whatever. It's like, I've been mad about something you did 6 months ago. But I've held that shit because I'm too emotional, so I'm not going to express
that's
it.
That's what I was telling her, because she's, I don't know if you were going to tell them, but she plans on doing a couples
counseling.
Yeah.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Yo, for our community, that'd be dope, because we need to kind of break that, like, quick shit. Like, can we get to know each other a little bit? And that's what I'm on now. I'm dating for a long time before I'm like in a relationship with anyone. Like, I gotta know you in and out. I wanna see you angry. Like, I wanna see you sad. Like, I wanna.
I think that's a huge, like, improvement from what a lot of people have been, because, like, that's just with me. Like, I've been a person where I always gotta have, like, a mental connection with you. Like, I gotta know exactly what you're going on. Like, I can count on my fingers how many people I've been sexually intimate with. Because I'm not that, I don't allow myself to get that deeply involved with somebody.
That's how I cope. I cope sexually.
But yeah, because every time this girl tells me she about to be single and focus on herself, you give her a few weeks and the bitch then forgot that she said it. But I don't say nothing. I just
know a lot of people like that. Like, I have a friend who's like that, and I always tell her, I'm like, listen, you can't fix yourself in someone else. That's not how you do that.
Yeah, I just realized that.
And so it sucks, you know, but. Like, for some reason, it's so hard for us to be with ourselves. Like, you realize that? Like, it's so hard for us to be with ourselves.
My God, it is.
Damn.
Like, that's some real stuff. Like, why can't you be with yourself? Like, why can't you be your own best friend? Why can't you be your own
lover? That's why I think something's wrong with me.
Yeah, no, I'm dealing with that now.
There's nothing wrong with you, but what I'm saying is that's normal. Like, that behavior is normal because we don't know, like, no one's taught us how to be with ourselves. Like, as much as our parents emphasize love yourself, no one taught us how.
Do you think you could be with yourself and be with someone else?
Yeah, but you have to know yourself first. Like, you have to be self-aware. You have to be able to be self-reflective of yourself and realize, damn, that was too much. I need to wind it back. Or when you know you did something wrong, even though you may be mad in the moment, like, for myself, I get upset and, like, my temper is like that. So I'll, like, just lash out. I know exactly what I'm saying and I meant it, but I didn't have to say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go back when I calm down, like, yo, I didn't mean to say that like that. I meant what I said and I meant that because of X, Y, and Z. But I didn't have to say it to that way where I knew it would hurt you, you know? And so that's me being self-reflective and realizing.
What's your sign?
I'm a Leo.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I never would have guessed that.
Me neither.
Never
I was raised by a Virgo, so if that means anything.
Nope. Does it?
My mom's a Sagittarius and my dad is a Virgo. Is he a Virgo? Or is he?
I don't know.
I don't know what the hell he is. Taurus? I don't know. Fucking September 3rd.
Well, that's
Virgo.
What's up.
Virgo.
That's my brother's
I just birthday. Always looked at stuff differently.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Ito. He likes my pictures on Instagram. That's my cousin. I love him.
No, but that's so crazy. And just to wrap it up and bring it just back to like,
if we have to continue this.
Yo, we have to. Yeah, we're going to have to get you back. You're going to have to be like recurring.
You're
going to have to be my therapist because we done got a little too personal on air.
With my life. No, this is what we like.
Listen, my report
I got an image, okay? Now I'm joking.
Now this is what we like.
Nah,
you know,
this is what we love to do.
I wanted to, definitely get into it because it's something that we need to be educated on.
We're going to have to have like monthly check-ins.
Oh, we should do that. We should do that. Yeah, we should definitely do that.
We should definitely do that.
And then we need to talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, people still deal with stuff like suicide and stuff.
No,
we have to get into that.
And it's getting younger and younger too.
Yeah. And that's just not cool. I'm not an advocate for bullying. And that's why I say if you ask the wrong people about me, you get the wrong stories. Like I was a bully. I don't think that shit is cool in any kind of way. I have siblings. I'm not accepting it. So, you know, to anybody, you know, I probably fucked over. I really am apologetic. But that was really, really deep.
And talk to your kids. I don't know why my spirit wants me to say this, but talk to your kids and talk to your friends. Talk to your friends. Like if they wildin' and they acting fake, talk to them.
That's what I wanted to say.
Talk to them.
The fact that we make it okay for people to treat their spouses like shit. Like I don't trust a man who do his baby moms dirty. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you laid down and made a kid. Like forget the baby. Your girlfriend, period. If that's the woman you tell me you love, if you could disrespect her verbally or embarrass her in front of me, I don't trust you because you lay with her. You don't lay with me. So if you can't give the person that's in your bed a certain amount of loyalty and respect, I know you don't give a fuck about me and I ain't giving you nada. Yeah. So I understand. But
talk to the people around you. Ask somebody how they feeling today.
Did you, want to plug in? Do you have anything you want people to reach out to you or something?
Yeah, word. Like if that,
yeah. Twitter, you can, get me on Twitter at Swayla Claire.
You gotta spell that. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, spell that shit.
Swayla.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah, that's me.
What's up?
you ain't even let her spell it, clown.
No, cause I seen the name.
You follow her?
I think I do.
Wow.
I have to follow you.
Look
back.
At that.
You see how I just interact. If you really interact with me, then I will. If you just like a post and you follow me, I won't interact. But if you actually interact with me, I will absolutely follow you back.
That's why I follow
you back.
She interacts with me.
Nah, I'll follow you back.
People really don't talk to me on social media because I be asking real questions. Unless I'm talking about sex or I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's how it always is.
Nobody want to talk to me.
Whenever I talk about politics or taxes, when I talk about saving money, everybody just goes
no likes, no retweets, nothing. Yeah. I can't go viral for nothing. So I'm like, all right, I'm not meant for that.
But you know what?
Every time
okay.
I say thank you for listening, they don't care. But when Zoe says it, it's like, no problem. We love your show.
This is not my show. I am just here to support one of my greatest family members. And she's not really my family, but she's not my friend.
Why the fuck would you say that? If I'm family, I'm family. You can't say it and take it back.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's not my blood. She's not my blood. She's not my
blood.
But she's not my friend. So,
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's more than friends. So like, but I will say, like, we definitely have to get you back on.
Definitely.
Ask somebody how they feeling today. Ask somebody
if you're okay.
Give them
the flowers while they can smell them.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
This has been real. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for coming.
We really appreciate it.
We gotta get her back on, man.
Yeah. This has been an amazing episode. Thank you guys for sitting in. Thank you guys for listening. And you know, just really quickly, just so you know, we are accepting donations. We are doing a giveaway, you know, a day we're going to do a meet and greet in the city. You know, if you have anything that is like, I'm talking about like pristine or, you know, it's still wearable or doable, you know, let's get it in. You give it to me, hit up Zoe. You know, we're just going to pick a day. We're just going to do a meet and greet and y'all can help us hand out these clothes to these people. You know, these are people out there and, you know, everybody deserves something.
Hell yeah. The first 10 people, you know, get to really just be VIP with us and chilling with us. You know, we'll do a lunch or something like that on us.
Yeah, definitely.
First 10 people.
You gotta hit us up.
So you can put your name on the list.
Yeah.
Lunch on us.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll definitely do that. Just chilling with us for the day. Really, you know.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and do that.
Let's do that.
Thank you guys for listening. We out of here.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.